When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's good, everybody? You are listening to Beneath the Frozen Sea, the Davy Jones LockerRoom.com podcast. My name is Sky, and fans rejoice because the Seattle Kraken are no longer on an 8-game losing streak. Yes, indeed, our long national nightmare is over. The Kraken broke their 8-game losing streak against the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday in a 4-0 shutout, and then followed it up on Thursday with a 4-2, a little tighter game than normal. That's still a 2-game winning streak. That was then abruptly snapped by the Dallas Stars. But honestly, after the month and change that they've had, that was a welcome change of pace. The Tuesday game was obvious. They did not want this losing streak to continue. They showed up on time, they pressed the advantage, and they got some good goals. 13 shots in the first period, 14 in the second. The Squids showed up with purpose, and they got exactly what they needed in order to be successful long term. They got 3 points out of Matty. He had a hand on 2 goals, and he had a goal himself. And they got 3 points out of Ellie Tolvanen, who has been underratedly struggling throughout the new year. And of course, Joey was just out of his mind. He was playing phenomenally. Granted, the Ducks did not show up with any real sense of urgency. I get the impression they were setting themselves up to figure out what they wanted to do on Thursday, which leads us to a Thursday game that was just strange. I thought for all the world, after the first period, we would be looking at a sleepy 2-0 victory for the Kraken. Because even if they were starting slow, the Anaheim Ducks still looked an awful lot like they did on Tuesday. I mean, don't get me wrong, this was a sloppy game, and you need only take a look at the penalty list to see where that went. Both sides had over 10 minutes of penalties, and the Ducks nearly had a half hour's worth of time in the box. And they didn't even juice that with fighting majors. They earned that the old-fashioned way by just making some of the most egregious stick fouls I've ever seen throughout a 60-minute hockey game. But I was also seeing the same places where the Ducks were flagging. I saw that they still had a very limited amount of defensive awareness. They were still opening up all these lanes. Even with their hot start, I got the impression that this was going to be a game that the Kraken would ease their way into and be much better come the second period. And you know what? I was right. The Ducks kind of ran out of gas. The Kraken got their act together. Jaden Schwartz was on the doorstep with Jordan Eberle attacking, and they score on a net front scramble. And they hang on to that lead for the entire period. They were in very little danger of actively giving it up. Great stuff in that second period. I thought, so long as I get their second goal, we will all go home very happy. And then the third period began. So this started with a William Lagesson penalty on Ty Cartier. All right, power play back on the ice, keep the puck down in their end, and maybe this power play can be asked to do something good. You know, a normal power play, right? Unfortunately, you're watching Seattle Kraken hockey. Nothing is ever done normally here. Off the face-off were problems beginning to emerge. Off the face-off in the offensive zone, from the beginning of that power play, there were issues. Matty and Eberle couldn't land a hit on the back checkers to separate them from the puck, and then they were able to spring it out of the zone. Okay, no big deal, right? The Ducks just kept it moving towards Grubauer, and Isaac Lundstrom scores shorthanded off a pretty mediocre shot. I mean, granted, the kid can shoot, but like, most goaltenders can make that stop. Just a terrible, passive sequence from the Kraken. And that has been, I think, a big part of why they have struggled on the power play, is passivity. They seem a little too sure of their abilities away from the puck right now. They should not be. I could tell you, as someone who's watched 74 games of this nonsense, that if this passivity is coming from either a lack of preparation when it comes to playing away from the puck on the power play, or just a mystifying belief that because the Ducks are so bad, that they are somehow incapable of potentially scoring shorthanded on you, the coaching staff needs to disabuse them of both notions. Especially because, and I need to make this point abundantly clear, that it is extremely unlikely to do this. They did it again! Do not ever tell the Seattle Kraken the odds, because they will happily plumb the depths of what is an acceptable or even sane thing to do when it comes to being up a man. The only thing that game proved to me was that this power play is cursed. There is an evil witch somewhere in the Puget Sound making good and goddamn sure that that power play cannot get things done unless it causes maximum suffering to the fan base that watches it. And granted, this was another goal that Philip Grubauer should have had. That was a very rough goal to give up, especially given the goal you just gave up. And we can assign blame. Oliver Bjorkstrand couldn't get the puck deep, nor could Logan Morrison corral the puck, making it easier for Jakob Silverberg to cause this breakout. But here's the thing. I would be less animated about this if this was not a systemic issue with this power play. Passivity, lack of creativity, lack of urgency. You know, even if the Kraken don't have the great high-end finishers of the NHL, they still have skilled players. And it's absurd that in a game where they scored 3 goals on the power play, that I am even talking about this. That I'm even talking about a systemic problem of this shocking inability to make a man advantage work for them. And this has been a problem for them consistently since the inaugural season. The power play even got them out of the issue they were in. They scored on the power play that they got 2 shorthanded goals put on them. And then they scored again, and they won that game 4-2. But still, this issue continues to raise its ugly head, and I hate it. This team is better than that. They may not be playoff caliber, but they are absolutely better than that. Anyway, Kraken won that game. It was a crazy third period. The Ducks just do not have a control on themselves, but they walked out with 2 points. That's fine. And then they played the Stars and lost 3-0. It was a sedate game. There was a clear divide here. There was a real look at like haves and have-nots. The Stars know what their brand is. They're old and young, and they're super fast, and they're super skilled. And they have finish. They have so much finish. They've got finish coming from guys who have names that look like they're made up, like Wyatt Johnston or Logan Stankoven. But that's the difference between a team that's trying to make the playoffs and a team that is trying to win the Stanley Cup. They use this game as practice for the playoffs, and the Kraken just can't match that intensity right now. Which I think, upon retrospect, kind of made me feel better about Ron Francis deciding to trade Wennberg and sort of start to focus on the kids. Because this was a team that was likely to be their first round opponent if they managed to make it into the playoffs. Right now, I don't know how you beat that unless you're a team that's just as skilled, like, say, Winnipeg or Colorado. And right now the Kraken don't have that. They could in the very near future, but they don't have it right now. And yeah, that's what's gonna happen when you are a struggling team that plays a playoff team. The playoff team is gonna run your show. But if there's anything you can take as a lesson from the Dallas Stars, is that A, you have definitely learned that you desperately need finish, and B, well, maybe start looking around the NHL for centers that aren't being respected as they should. You know, it worked fabulously for Dallas. I bet you Ron Francis could find a guy who is just as good as Tyler Seguin, if not better. Which brings us to tonight's game against the San Jose Sharks. That team is grim. They weren't able to get nearly as many first-round picks as they needed coming out of the trade deadline. The differences between the San Jose Sharks and their AHL affiliate, the Barracuda, could probably be counted on, I don't know, one hand at this point in time. They're bad. The Sharks have been bad, and they're going to continue to be bad until they either have Macklin, Celebrini, or anybody who is in the top 5 of the NHL draft right now. Here's the thing, though. The Kraken are 1-1 against the San Jose Sharks. The first game, I think, is a little more indicative of what I think should happen. They dropped 7 goals on the Sharks, and the Sharks got one back. It was, to my knowledge, because it was very early on in the season, a welcome change of pace from them being unable to score. They were also very, very sloppy the entire night. But then there was the more recent game, where they lost 2-0 to the San Jose Sharks. Granted, that was Mackenzie Blackwood playing out of his gourd, but it's also an indictment on the Kraken. The Kraken could not get anything dangerous past Mackenzie Blackwood, and they had great chance after great chance all throughout that game. So what do they got to do? Well, the big thing for me is that they have to take advantage of the opportunities that are going to be given to them. The gap between a struggling defensive core and an ineffective one is going to be pretty obvious, and I think you're going to see it tonight. So the Kraken have to take the advantage of that. Have to take advantage of that. And again, power plays. If you're not going to score on them, at least seem dangerous to the other team, because recently that has been a consistent problem. Other than that, they just need the goaltending to hold up as it has. Even through the losses, if Vince Dunn does indeed return to the lineup, see what percentage of Vince Dunn you actually have now, and then, adjust accordingly so that he's not working too hard while freshly uninjured, and see how they can get the chemistry going on a brand new line, one that will have Jaden Schwartz, Jordan Eberle, and Shane Wright. The Kraken were active all week calling up guys from Coachella, and the highlight, obviously, was Shane Wright just after the Dallas game. And from what Dave Haxtell has said, he is getting significant time. It looks like they are throwing him not to the wolves, but out there with a line that he seems tailor-made to succeed with. They're giving him Jordan Eberle and Jaden Schwartz as his wingers. My only expectation for him is to show obvious growth. While he had his first NHL goal last year, he looked badly overmatched in the show. And part of that came down to the AHL-CHL thing that had him going all over creation, getting a lot of people mad that the Kraken were trying to maximize his ice time and not sending him to the Kingston Frontenacs or whatever it was. He looked a lot better this preseason and has been a major contributor to the offense in Coachella. I want to see him take the lessons he's learned while playing out in the desert and apply them here. I want to see him generating opportunities. I want to see him turning Jaden Schwartz and Jordan Eberle into dangerous players by his inclusion. But I should preface this by saying that he is not the only guy I'm still paying attention to, because there are two other young boys from Coachella who have been playing very well down there, who were just recently called up and had a couple of pretty interesting games against the Anaheim Ducks and Dallas Stars. I'm of course talking about Ryan Winterton and Logan Morrison, no, not the baseball player, but the hockey player, who were called up prior to the Tuesday game against the Ducks. And you know what? In the first Ducks game, they looked really, really good. They were driving play, they were generating opportunities, didn't quite get on the board, but I would love to see them. But in games like this, in the upcoming game, I think that there is a genuine chance for them to get their first NHL goals. In the second one, you definitely started to see them get acclimated, but also show some rookie jitters. Logan Morrison was probably the smoking gun on the second shorthanded goal that was scored on the Seattle Kraken. Oh my god. And while they struggled to get shot attempts through against the Stars, they were among the better players of getting unblocked attempts to the net in the Dallas game. They had some pretty good chances too. I think it's a bit of a shame that they couldn't capitalize. Otherwise, been a phenomenal couple of games for Ryan Winterton and Logan Morrison. I personally cannot wait to find out how Shane Wright contributes to this group. Either way, the Kraken are going to be brandishing a much younger lineup than they have. Let's see how they handle the San Jose Sharks tonight at 7:30.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're already in the middle of prospect talks, so I might as well continue on with the junior guys who are all in their respective playoff series, which got underway over Easter weekend. We'll start with the man of the hour, Jagr Firkus, who's already kicking the tar out of the Brandon Wheat Kings. He's got 2 points in 2 playoff games, and Moose Jaw doesn't look like they're in any significant danger of losing their 2-0 lead over the Wheat Kings. David Goyette, the other 100-point man in the Kraken prospect system, he also has 2 points in 2 games, and it looks like the Sudbury Wolves are going to take the Mississauga Steelheads to the woodshed. Meanwhile, Carson Rakoff is going on an absolute tear in the Kitchener Rangers series against the Erie Otters. He's got 4 points in 2 games, 3 of them goals. Kitchener and Erie are tied at 1 game apiece. Forward prospect Andre Loshko with Rouyn Noranda is up 2-0 on the Gatineau Olympique, and he has a goal in 2 games. Also having a great time in the junior playoffs right now is Ty Nelson of the North Bay Battalion. He has 3 points in 2 games, and the Battalion are up 2-0 over the Kingston Frontenacs. Also with Kitchener is Eddie Chalet, who was traded there over the course of the end of the season, and Eddie Chalet has 4 points in 2 games, good for him. Caden Hamill with the Everett Silvertips has a goal in 2 games. We have a great profile of his game one performance against the Vancouver Giants. It looks like they have tied their series 1-1. But the man who seems to be taking to playoff hockey the best out of everyone in junior right now for the Kraken's prospect system is Caden Price. Price has 5 points for the Rockets in their series against the Wenatchee Wild. In just 2 games, great stuff for him. That series is tied at 1-1. Good luck to everyone, and we hope they continue on. It looks like a vast majority of teams that have Kraken prospects on them seem to be steamrolling their opponents. I wonder if there's a correlation. In general NHL news, we've got a couple of positive stories to talk about. Ivan Fedotov, a Russian-born goaltender who was more or less ferreted away from the Philadelphia Flyers, was at long last allowed to join the team after doing some work for the Russian army in the Arctic. Maybe they had a game against polar bears, I don't know. And critically, his KHL team terminated his contract, which has often been a major issue when trying to get guys from Russia to come overseas. It's hard to say whether or not Fedotov is actually going to be playing for the Flyers this year, but hey, if he gets into a game, good for him. And for John Carlson's 1,000th game for the Washington Capitals, the Caps went out of their way to drag Vanessa Carlton out of wherever she's been hiding to remake her big hit in a very touching tribute. I saw the ceremony, it was very cute. Congratulations to John Carlson on 1,000 games, it is hard to do that wherever you are, and I'm glad he managed to do it on a team he has been part of for a good long time now. Otherwise, it is all playoffs all the time, just about every team is gearing up for the playoffs. It looks like the Pacific Division is mostly locked up, as is the Central Division, so all of the intrigue is out east at the moment. The Red Wings are no longer competing for a playoff spot against the Capitals, but instead the Flyers, who fell all the way to the second wildcard spot. Meanwhile, the Devils, Penguins, and Sabres have been tripping all over themselves, trying to clamber into position to threaten. Otherwise, the Detroit Red Wings have been holding steady, but have yet to really find an opportunity to take the lead. And frankly, their schedule over the next couple of weeks does not inspire a terrible amount of confidence. The next couple of weeks are going to be a photo finished out east, so if you're looking for something to watch before the Kraken turn on, why not go on ahead and find an Eastern Conference game to see how things turn out. And it's a shorter episode today, but I think that will do it for Beneath the Frozen Sea. Next week, I will be looking back over my predictions from earlier this season to see how wrong I was. There are a couple of teams that I was super wrong about just about the entire time. Oh boy, that's going to be a little embarrassing, but it's going to be important for me to stay humble. So please look forward to it. And as always, if you like this show, you can go on ahead and subscribe to it however you get your podcasts. And if you want to see more, why not check out our written content over at DavyJonesLockerRoom.com. We've got the best analysis, community, previews, recaps, and game threads for fans to hang out, cheer, and of course, post Zoidberg if we win. You can find us on most social media platforms at DavyJonesLR on Twitter and Blue Sky, as well as Threads. And you can find us on Facebook at DavyJonesLockerRoom. Trying to keep it light today so I can go over and make sure I've got all my notes for next week's show and make sure that it is the very best it can be. The Kraken are on a California road trip for the week. They start in San Jose tonight, then play the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. Tonight's game begins at 7:30 PT. My name is Sky. Thank you very much for listening. keep calm and post Zoidberg when we win, and as always, go Squids!